So going with sleep, though, the number one factor, again, this is a Huberman thing, the number one factor on your mood or your mental health, your mood, is the amount of sleep you can get. And the number one thing you can do to have better quality sleep is looking at bright light for at least 10 minutes early in the morning.
And maybe we highlight and just take a moment, like reflecting back before the surgery, is like, did you have hope? Were you confident that you were able to succeed in it? And then when did it start accelerating for you, where you're like, I'm going to double down on this and really incorporate it into everything that I do?
When did I have hope on if I can lose weight?
Yeah. Were you at a point where it's just like, I need to make a change?
Yes.
And
it was like, I knew I can do it if I put in 100% of my effort into it, but I didn't have 100% effort to give.
Got it.
Because I'm still running business. I'm still dealing with relationships. And so it was, how do I put physical health first without taking away from these other aspects? And I thought, well, if I can pay for a surgery. And there was a little bit of shame and embarrassment around that, getting surgery at 29 years old. It's 310 pounds. And I'm like, oh, who cares? And I don't feel any of that anymore. That was a great, great decision for me. So as I started taking care of my physical health and really shedding the weight, and then I was able to exercise more, move more, and it just kind of spiraled to like, wow, I feel way better. Just looking at myself in the mirror, I feel way better. So it all translates mentally. And I think you get your body right, and then you get your mind right, and then you can perform, whether that's in business or in sales or whatever you want. But your mind has to be right, and it's very hard, if not impossible, to get your mind right if your body's not right.
Yep.
And I was missing that component. What about you? What's been the trigger for you to get your own ice bath? And because you got yours a lot longer than
Yeah, I got mine a while ago. So in 2021, I had two knee surgeries. I had one in February and then one in August. And I don't know if I ever showed you pictures, but
no, I don't want to.
They were,
I'm a baby.
They were gnarly. I was looking back at them, and I had the one in August, I had my left knee operated on and then my right knee operated on as well. So I was in crutches for almost 6 months out of that year. And so that accelerated my like really taking care of my body, but my mental health as well, and really adopting practices like cold plunge. Because as I started recovering for it, I set a goal to do a triathlon. And in order to perform at that, I had to really adopt some practices and protocols to help me recover faster. And so ice baths was a key component to that. And it trickled into so many other areas as far as like mental health, especially some of the medications that I was on. I wanted to detox from those. Mm-hmm. And so some of the practices that I put in place to make sure that those were successful led to new practices diving in. So I think going back to your point of like, if the mind is not right, then the body is not right, and vice versa, is like they go hand in hand to really make it successful in adopting those practices.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny saying that, but it's like, well, of course they go hand in hand. Your mind is your body.
Yep.
Like it's in your body.
Yep.
You can't have a healthy body if you don't have a healthy kidney.
Now, the piece that I need to dial in next that I'm working on right now, we started that parasite cleanse, was gut health. Mm-hmm. 90% of serotonin is made in your gut. So that's a caveat.
You started it too?
Yeah, the parasite cleanse. Oh, yeah. It's been amazing.
I haven't noticed anything coming out. But I do feel different. I do feel like since I've done that, and it was Bentley that we had him on the podcast, and he was showing us pictures of worms, literally a foot long. He dug in there with a toilet brush and he pulled out his worms.
Pulled it out.
Poop. And it scared me to death. I'm like, okay, I need to buy that. So I've been doing some in the morning, some in the evening. And that's, now I take a lot more pills. I'm taking like 20 in the morning and then 9 in the evening.
And I think one caveat that I want to throw in there for anybody listening, we're very privileged in the things that we have access to and the capital we have to allocate to it. So we'll throw in some free tips and different things that we can utilize that don't require capital or access to get some of these tools that we have access. So
yeah,
want to throw that in there because everybody's on a different spectrum or have access, especially when it comes to, I think some of the biggest things that I, looking back, some things feel overwhelming and daunting, and some of the easiest, simplest things can have some of the biggest impacts. Yeah. So
with that being said, let's dive into one of the first, well, I'll kind of go through my morning.
So,
and I'll focus on more of the behavior.
It's perfect.
And then we'll come back and revisit some supplementation stuff. Waking up, go downstairs, and I bought a few of these light therapy lamps. I have one by my bed, I have one by my coffee maker, and I have two in my office. So I go down to the coffee maker, turn it on, and these are 10,000 lumens. You can buy them from Amazon for $26. I turn that on, and I'm looking at that as I'm making the coffee. And then I am, at the same time, I'm making a different drink, which I'll get into later. So I'm making two drinks in the morning. And then after that, I grab all my supplements, my handful of supplements, and I head to my office. And then I put on my little red light therapy cap that doesn't work because it's, I mean, my hair is obviously not growing back, but I put it on for 6 minutes and I look at these lights. So now I have two of them and I'm trying to get within 18 inches to 12 inches of them. So I'm getting pretty close to them. And I put on my headphones and I do binaural beats. Mm. So the only one that I've seen that has good science behind them is 40 hertz. That's free on YouTube. You do 40 hertz binaural beats. It has to be with headphones because what it's doing is one frequency in one ear is going to be 38 and the other one's going to be 41. But it does align your brain and change the frequency in there. Again, you can get lost into trauma healing and cellular regeneration, which I don't buy into any of that, according to what I've read. Just the 40 hertz and it's for increased focus. And I do that for 10 minutes. So I'm looking at the lights and I do this whatever for 10 minutes. And then I go and I'm drinking my energy drink or my pre-workout with all the other stuff in it. And then I go head to the gym and I do 30 minutes at the gym.
At what time are you waking up? Does that affect?
7. I wake up at 7 and then I hit the gym at 7:30.
Okay.
So it's about 25 minutes is kind of my morning routine to get up, brush my teeth, go to the bathroom, make the drinks, sit there. And then the gym's only 5 minutes.
Drive. Super manageable. Super manageable.
And then 7:30 to 8 is what I do at the gym. Unless I'm feeling super stoked, then I go to maybe 8:10.
8:10.
Like today, though, I was late because my day didn't start later till a little bit later. And so I only went for like 20 minutes today.
And you specifically right now, because I've worked out with you in the morning, it's more training. And you're what training are you specifically focused on? Building a strength currently versus cardio focus, correct?
Yeah. I do a trainer 3 times a week for 30 minutes, and then I try to get in a fourth. And what I try to do is a day for back and biceps, legs and calves, which are legs, but throwing that in there, chest and triceps, and then shoulders.
Got it.
So it doesn't need to be in any particular order, but I just try to work out each one of those muscle groups once a week. If I'm only going to work out 3 times a week, I drop the shoulders.
Got it. And then what is your purpose or intention behind working out? Do you have a goal set? Is there something that you're working towards specifically?
Movement, strength. And I'm trying to focus, I guess, a little bit less on the strength. I mean, I love the strength, but realizing that if I'm going to keep losing weight, you start losing strength. So it's not about how much you can lift. But feeling good with the movement, bone density is huge. Just you have to do weight training and heavy weights to maintain that bone density. And then for the cardio, I don't really do cardio ever. But I get 10,000 steps every single freaking day. Like almost every day, because after work, it's always a walk or a bike ride with my kids. Or a walk to Walmart or whatever. And then sauna as well, because I do that almost every single day. And that gets my heart rate usually around 140 if I get the sauna up to 220, 230. And so my heart rate's still at 140. I'll get, 20, 25 minutes in that range.
I love that. And I'm very similar. Morning routine, wake up. I've started actually as soon as I get out of bed, I go and make a water, salt and lemon juice cocktail. Mm-hmm. Take that because as soon as you wake up, the biggest thing that you can do is hydrate. Number one thing, hydrate. And then now that it's warmer outside, I go take the dogs for a walk around the block so I can getting that sunlight. I don't have the light bulbs, but getting sunlight exposure right as you wake up is
A lot better to go outside and go on a walk and look at the sun rather than what I do, but it works.
It's still achieving.
It's second best.
Second best. getting in and then focus on the gym movement. For me, mornings are the best as well. Training for a triathlon right now, so I have a program that I'll cycle, mm-hmm. running, biking, swimming. But important of lifting weights as well. For people trying to lose weight, lifting weights is actually one of the best ways to do it. Your body is not sculpted on a treadmill. And then after that, getting into supplements, cold bath, sauna, depending on the day and the routine. But
awesome. Let's jump into food. So what changed me is one, obviously the surgery, I went 6 months without eating any starches because that's what you're supposed to do. And then when you start reintroducing starches, breads, pastas, whatever, it just doesn't taste good. I mean, it doesn't feel good. I should say it still tastes decent, but that kind of forced me to change my relationship with my food. What's going on there, dude? Kind of that forced me to change my relationship with my food, because it's no longer like, I mean, I have to resist this pizza like we had the other night.
Yeah.
I didn't have to like use willpower to resist it.
Got it.
Because if I ate it, I knew I was going to not feel great. So I'm just like, I don't even want it. So instead I went to the fridge, and this was somebody else's fridge, and I started eating bell pepper, or you know, the little sweet peppers. Yep. And I know that that makes me feel good.
These things are delicious.
So Costco though was the big thing on just buying all the snacks at Costco. So beef jerky, and I have them here at the office, and I have them at my house. I do like the little cheese. They're 50 cents. I think it's $8 for 16 of these, so it's 50 cents. And it has cheese in one side and then nuts and cranberries in the other side. And they're so freaking good. They make me feel great, and it's whole food. That's my lunch almost every day. I grab that, and I grab a Kind bar, whatever flavor. So getting some more nuts in there without a bunch of other junk. And then I grab a beef jerky. So like the Chomp Sticks, or the Korean barbecue one is probably my favorite one. That's a pork one. Or the one I just ate, the Alberto beef jerky, and that has a variety pack as well. Grab a handful of those. There's the That's It bars, and it's like apples and like three ingredients that they push together. The Fiji apples that are dried, those are a grab-and-go snack. Dried mangoes, grab-and-go snack. So every time I'm hungry for something, I have 15 different options, and it's all whole food. Most of it is grab-and-go, and it's... That's been a big change, because it's like, oh, what do I eat? There's no more like, I need to go grab fast food, because it's like, no, it's faster what I already have. And it does cost a little bit more.
Are you on a caloric deficit right now?
Yeah, I'm sure I am. It's hard for me to get all the food that I need in. Not even by purpose. It was, so I went from 310 pounds. I got down to 226 in November.
Yeah.
And then I started on testosterone. And then I went up to 243, and then now I'm at 220. So then I went back down since then. And that change in that last 9 weeks, going from 243, it's been exactly 9 weeks yesterday, 243 to 220, it was semi-glutide that I got on.
Got it.
And that makes it a little bit harder to eat as well.
Just appetite suppression?
Yeah. And not that I've really tried any other appetite suppressants, but that's a big one that I've noticed a big difference on, and kind of increasing my sensitivity to what I eat. Again, I don't feel good if I'm eating pizza.
Yeah.
And this enhances that. So again, I think it's a really good thing that I don't really have those cravings, because I don't have cravings to feel like shit.
Yeah.
So the semi-glutide, it was kind of like getting the surgery over again. A lot of the not being able to eat as much, not being able to, I guess, being more sensitive to those foods that just aren't good for you. And anybody, I've done 3-day fast a handful of times. I did one for 4 days. You introduce carbs or sugar after a 3 or 4 day fast, it's just freaking diarrhea in 5 seconds, or like a high fat. Like, your body doesn't freaking like it. We've poisoned our body and said, be accustomed to this poison, because it's still coming. It's but poison. If you detox from that, then reintroduce it, you can actually see what your body likes and what it doesn't like. Because it doesn't become numb to all of those toxins anymore. You're actually sensitive to them.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, too, is like, easy way to clean up the diet is get rid of processed sugars, get rid of fast food, have simple snacks that you can have.
Eat fruit for dessert instead of normal dessert, which is so weird.
But it
starts tasting really good if you don't eat the other stuff.
It tastes so good. And eat as much fruit as you want at first. Switching, just eat as much fruit as you want. So many people... It's hard enough to get off of sugars and sweets. Just enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy the fruits.
Let's pause for a second. Do you want us to pause? Is that why we fixed this?
Yeah, so this thing, for some reason, like...
I mean, should we just turn it off?
Restarted, yeah. So we're fine. Okay. I'll cut that part out, but yeah, just keep going.
Okay. Okay, Mike, diet. What's a diet like for you? What do you do good with? What do you struggle with?
That's something that I'm dialing in right now. A lot of what I've shifted towards, so I went heavily plant-based and now I'm reintroducing meats. But most days I'll have my drinks in the morning, and then I won't eat until about 12 o'clock. I'll have fruit in the morning. Jesse Itzler is big on that. Just having fruit, some glucose in your system has really worked well for me. And then lunch, I'll have some protein, some plants, with a little bit of carbs. And then in the evenings, I'll have the same thing. And then I usually cut off food about 8 or 9 o'clock before bedtime, just so that nothing is in my stomach before I go to bed. As far as like calorie count, I'm not as restrictive right now where I should be training for a triathlon, but I try and my body is adapting as it gets into it, but try and keep it as simple as possible when changing diet, because I wasn't the greatest earlier in the year.
I think that for me, and everybody's body's different, but just cutting off food at the end of the night.
Yep.
I don't do a great job with that, but I'm also try to get more calories in at the end of the night because I know I don't get enough in the day. But that was a big thing from before, just don't eat at night. Don't eat past 9 o'clock, and I would lose weight before. And so I have the Dexcom Levels blood glucose monitor.
Levels is amazing.
The little sensor lasts for 10 days. So you put it in your stomach, feels less than a needle, like an insulin needle.
And you so put that on your arm as well, by the way.
You could put it on your, for whatever reason, this one said for men to put on your belly. For women, they could put it on their belly or on the back of their arm. Which I'm sure it's the same. But I put that in there. It lasts for 10 days. It's $200 for the year subscription. And then it's $200 a month, assuming you're doing it all the time.
Mainly what I for do, the device.
For the device. Yeah, so I did $200 for the year subscription. And then I've only bought the $200 device set one time. And I used it for 10 days. Then I took it out for 20 days. Because the sensor will still last 90 days itself. Mm-hmm. So you just have to use your 30 days within 90 days. Took 20 days off, and then I'm on my second wave of the 10 days.
Got it.
I still have another one left. So that way I'm really paying $200 every 3 months, and I don't really need to monitor it. 10 days out of the month is fine.
Yeah.
But on my phone, it tells me exactly where my blood glucose levels are, when I'm resting, when I'm eating, what's spiking it, how many spikes I get in a day. I get to define what a spike is. Mine is set to anything above 140 or anything lower than 80. So I need to be between that. Right now I'm at 124 because I just got done eating the Kind bar and the beef jerky.
You've got a good range.
But it stays.
Do you log your food with it as well?
No, I don't. But I can also see other things like the ice bath, how that affects it, how the sauna. So like last night, jumping to the ice bath, I probably did jump in the ice bath around 7:30, and then I dropped down to 86, which is maybe some of the lower. And then the sauna actually raises it without eating anything, and then cooling off lowers it again. So it's kind of fun seeing how this is. And that's definitely what's caused me to struggle with losing weight, is elevated blood glucose levels resting.
How sensitive are you to insulin and glucose?
I don't know.
Do you have pretty good big swings when eating different foods, or?
Well, I should say I don't.
Pretty relatively.
This time. So I can look at the last time I've reported it, and I had a much more spikes and less. And I think it's the semaglutide. Mm-hmm. So I also started doing berberine, one in the morning, one in the evening, several months ago. But I think it's the semaglutide that's making a bigger difference.
Got it.
So, and I also have been using this Dexcom G6. I did use it in January as well.
Got it.
So I did 10 days then, another 10 days, and now I'm on my third set of 10 days. Anyways, I've noticed a big difference from January till now, what those swings are. So whether it's the berberine or the semaglutide, something's working. I think it's the semaglutide, because last time I tested, I was just on berberine. I didn't notice that much of a difference.
Got it. And what I'm hearing too is it's really good to get a baseline, and then as you make changes to your diet, see how it affects it. So when I was plant-based, I was a lot more sensitive to glucose. When I was off of it, my glucose levels would stay pretty even. The biggest spike that I ever had, just testing and seeing how high I could get it, I got it to like 150, 160. That was after fasting and then eating 2 Pop-Tarts. That would just send it through the roof.
See, I would get it up before. It'd get up to 180 plus on some of the things. Now I haven't touched that since I've been doing this other stuff. And it's important to know that, and a lot of people talk calories in, calories out, and that's a lot of it, but it's not all of it. If you are on a 1,000 calorie diet and you burn 2,000 a day, but somebody's injecting you with insulin all day, you won't lose weight. Mm. It just won't. If you have insulin present, your body cannot lose weight. So it's not as simple as calories in, calories out. And if you want to test it, pump yourself full of insulin and you will not lose weight. It doesn't matter. Your body will still need to convert, it still needs to make up for that 1,000 calorie deficit, but it'll just eat away your muscles. It won't go into fast storage. So eating not eating at night will get you. I mean, that's the whole intermittent fasting thing. You eat the same amount of calories in a smaller window, and they say that you lose weight. Why? Because you're giving your body a break from insulin and glucose levels and allowing your body to start converting fat into energy.
That makes sense.
So anyways, big difference there. Jumping into supplementations. I've been doing some injections.
Before we go to supplementation, should we talk about other data that we track, Oura Ring?
Oh, yeah.
Another free tool being sleep and one of the biggest adjustments that you can go into. One of the biggest things that we can do as humans is monitor our sleep and make changes to that, making sure that we're getting between 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And well-rested sleep is another key thing. Being able to set boundaries before going to bed, turning off your phones, blue lights, so making sure your screens be able to wind down and really set yourself up for success for sleep. Make the bedroom for sleep, so that way anxiety mm-hmm. does not happen in the bedroom. That's a real key component. So that way, I know a lot of people have sleep anxiety. That's a main factor. Like, let sleep, the bedroom be for sleep and sex, and that's it. And then be able to monitor. The Oura Ring has really changed how I have my sleep schedule set up and be able to monitor that for me. My sleep time varies between 11 o'clock at night and 6 or 7 in the morning. So really being able to aim for those windows, but be able to track my deep sleep, my REM sleep, my light sleep has really made a difference in how I operate and I see my recovery.
Yeah, and Oura Rings are $300, $7 a month for the subscription. Your first 6 months are free, if I recall.
I wear it as my wedding ring.
That's what I do too. Even though I'm always switching it from one hand to the other. I also do the Fitbit. I chose the Fitbit over the Apple Watch because you only have to charge it once a week.
That's
and I don't want notifications on my wrist. I guess you could do that with the Apple Watch and just turn it off. But
Apple Watch got stolen inside of a dirty dough.
Oh yeah, the vineyard one. Last Apple Watch is in Tijuana. The bottom of a pool, I think.
That's not very fun.
But I definitely like the Fitbit more. It has more sensors. It has a stress sensor that I can do. You cover it. This is the Fitbit Sense 2 or 3. I don't know. It's their most advanced one. Got off Facebook Marketplace brand new for like $150, half price.
That's not bad at all.
So yeah, not bad. But it does measure stress as well. And you put your hand over it for 2 minutes. And it's measuring the water in your palm as a and those changes. Anyways, HRV, which both of them, both the Fitbit and the Oura Ring change or track is very important, which is the variability between each heartbeat in milliseconds. So it's 50 or 70 or 80 or 90, or if you have a terrible night, you're at 20. So the higher number, the better. And then that gives you a readiness score. Both devices give me my readiness score as well, which will determine how hard I should go working out or if I should take a day off. You know, if I have a terrible readiness score, I'm just like, there's no reason to push it if my heart's not in it with me. And this is actually measuring that. So going with sleep, though, the number one factor, again, this is a Huberman thing, the number one factor on your mood or your mental health, your mood is the amount of sleep you can get. And the number one thing you can do to have better quality sleep is looking at bright light for at least 10 minutes early in the morning.
Got it.
So that's why I introduced that. It sounds like you're doing something similar as well. Okay, should we jump into supplementation?
Just jump in.
Okay, so the two drinks that I do, and I'm making these every morning without fail, even Saturdays and Sundays. we'll start with the injections. So I do testosterone, been on it since November, so it's been 7 months now. My levels are at 202 nanograms per milliliter, I think is the measurement. And last time I got it tested, 2 weeks ago, I was at 775. The normal levels for a male that's 30 years old is 400 to 1,000. So right in that range, I take 0.2 cc's every 3 times a week. So some people do the same dosage, but once a week. Most people are taking a lot more than I'm, but that's what works for me because I did take a little bit more. My levels went up to 1,100 and I just didn't feel as good.
Yep.
So I lowered that back down. So I'm taking 0.6 per week. Now this is a testosterone cypionate, which is 200 milligrams or whatever per milliliter. So you kind of double the number to get what your actual testosterone. Yeah. So I'm taking 120 a week.
Yep.
I don't say most people on TRT are like at 120, maybe on the very low end, up to maybe 200.
Yep.
But that's just what works for me. And I do blood tests. I do L-carnitine injections. You can take it orally, but the bioavailability is only 10% typically. So you have to Got take it. A shit ton of pills.
Yeah,
where I just do one full CC injection in my butt. That's intramuscular, same with the testosterone, 3 times a week. So
yeah,
both of those I'm doing 3 times a week. And then semaglutide is once a week. I do it on Sundays. And I started with 0.25 cc's for a month, and then I doubled it to 0.5 cc's for a month, and then I doubled it again to one full cc. That's where I'm at right now. I've done that. Yesterday was my third time. So I just completed 9 weeks. I'm on my 10th week right now. And then it's going to double again to, I think it ends at 2.4 is what my doctor has.
Got
me.
It.
How much do you pay for the semaglutide?
I bought it off of some website that I got a quote from the doctor, and it was $1,100 per month. I'm like, screw that. So my nutritionist said, no, I've been taking it from this website for years, and I have all these people, and he's in the train some Olympic athletes, so things like that. So I trusted him. And it was $115 for a vial.
$115?
And it's powderized. It comes in a powder, and then you have to buy the BAC water from Amazon, which is like $20, and it'll last you for 2 lifetimes probably. Like, it'll last you forever. Because you only have to take such a small amount to mix it in there.
Yeah.
And you just do it with your normal insulin needles that I inject with. It says do not labeled for human consumption like 10 times on the bottle. And I was freaking out. And he's like, no, it's just because it's not FDA approved. So I'm not recommending for or against that, but that's what I've been doing.
Do your research on this.
That first vial lasted me 2 months.
Got it.
And now, because, you know, the dose is so much higher, it's going to be less and less. But, you know, for, and I've lost 23 pounds in, like I said, 9 weeks. I also do the body scanner thing at the gym, that you hold it, the in-body scanner. And I've lost 2 or 3 pounds of muscle. I think I was at 107 and now I'm at 104.
It's probably your testosterone that's maintaining it.
Testosterone and high protein, because the downside of semaglutide on some studies is a third of the weight loss is muscle. But I was like, I don't even care. If I lose 20 more pounds and 7 of it's muscle, who cares? Like, I have plenty of muscle, kind of where I'm at. Okay, so do the injections, then I jump into the coffee, which is just a little coffee pod, Keurig, right? Mm-hmm. And then I do 1 teaspoon, so half the normal dose of stevia. And then I throw in sugar-free creamer or oat milk, non-sweetened oat milk, or the Fairlife protein milk, and I'm barely putting any, so it's just kind of whatever's in the fridge.
Yeah.
And then I put 3 scoops of collagen powder, flavorless, so it gives me 27 grams of protein. Yep. It does, you can taste it in the coffee. So like this morning, I only did 1 scoop, and then I did 2 scoops in my other drink.
Got
just
it.
To see the taste. The other drink typically doesn't have collagen. This morning it had 2 scoops because I still wanted my 27 grams in. I do Relight electrolytes, and then the cheapest way to get electrolytes, though, if you don't want to pay for that, is just light salt, L-I-T salt. It's half potassium, half sodium. It has more potassium than any electrolyte you'll find on Amazon. And this costs $2 for 200 servings. So, I mean, it's literally a penny perfect. A serving.
Yeah.
And then you just get like any type of flavoring. And if you want to make orange Gatorade, you get orange flavoring, you know, the little squirt bottle things, and you put 2 servings of light salt, and it tastes just like Gatorade.
It's still,
but it costs you 2 cents.
It'd still be better than Gatorade is.
Oh, I'm sure it would be.
Gatorade has so much sugar in it.
So, Relight electrolytes, and then I on workout days I do pre-workout, and then I do glutamine, creatine, and prebiotic fiber.
Got it.
So I do all of that every single morning. The only difference is when I don't work out, I substitute the pre-workout with a BCAA. And I use the flavorless Relight because those other ones already have the flavors. And I drink that and then take all the pills.
You've got a good list of pills.
Yeah, and I'm sure because I made it a little while ago. It's probably not. Probably added to it since then. Vitamin D, berberine. I take one of those in the morning. Vitamin D is 4 cents a pill. Berberine is 37 cents a pill. Maybe that was for 2 pills. I forgot what I wrote down here. I do wild Alaskan fish oil. 1,400 milligrams, 9 cents a pill. Resveratrol, that's what people say wine's good for you because of the resveratrol, which there's no resveratrol. I mean, it's such a low amount. So I just take a pill. I do half a serving. It says to take 2. I just take 1 for whatever reason. It's 12 cents. Alpha GPC, which is a neurotropic. I do 1 of those a day as well. That's 17 cents. I'm not going to pronounce the next one, and I've stopped taking it, but that was a natural enhancement for testosterone. But Fadoga agrestis with Tunga Ali.
Where'd you find that one?
Andrew Huberman.
Okay.
Vitamin B3 has some other name, but it's vitamin B3. That's 6 cents. I take a food enzyme for digestion. It's 13 cents. Vitamin K, 8 cents. Biotin, which is for my hair, 8 cents. DHEA. You can buy that off of Amazon. That's the precursor for testosterone. I do a multivitamin and then one called P550, which is it's an activated version of vitamin B6 or it's B6. So that's what I do every morning. Most of these came from a guy named David Sinclair. Listen to a podcast from him 4 years ago. I've been taking all this for at least 4 years, and it's all about longevity, how to live the longest. So David Sinclair, most of these is what came from him. Anyways, what about you?
Lately it's been in the mornings, I'll do niacinamide, lion's mane, and psilocybin to start my day. And then
every morning
or every other morning, depending on how the stack or the rotation is. I always try and get niacin and get the flush free, saves your life. And then lion's mane to start your day. For me, there was a big phase where I detox of Adderall and any stimulants and caffeine that helped save me. Able to talk a lot about that. But then the parasite cleanse, I do the flora support first thing in the morning, and then I have a couple more pills that I have to take in the evening. But then really get into the prebiotic fiber in the morning, and then I try and get most of my other stuff from my food. I will do fish oil, vitamin B, vitamin C, just depending on the day. And then just do a one-a-day min supplement just to keep it pretty simple, at least in this phase of what I'm working on.
Yeah. And to go into the cost as well, testosterone, I spend about $55 a month on that, and my L-carnitine is about $50 a month. So neither of those are super expensive, in my opinion, at least for what I get out of it. And I also hate needles, but I got over it really quick because I don't think there's anything that I've ever done in the world that has such a low, I guess, risk or cost for what I get out of it. Like, even if I didn't get used to it, I would still do it because it's like, testosterone has changed my life.
And one of the things on testosterone, because I've cycled on and off of that, is do under supervision so you don't have the adverse side effects, and then make sure you get your blood tested once a quarter. Yep. That's the best thing that you can do for any of this stuff.
Yeah, and I've had two doctors that say once every 6 months, but I've been doing it every other month just because I'm like, why not? All right, we're wrapping up here. A few other things that I've done. Modafinil, I'm not going to get into it, but that is a lifesaver. If you have a hard day ahead of you or tired, I'll take a half a pill of that or a full pill. I probably do that 1 to 3 times a week, depending on the day. Got rid of all plastics in my house for me, my kids, other than the bottle. We need to reduce those, but he's old enough to get off the bottle. And then we put in a reverse osmosis, five filtration something system, and now I actually drink water because it tastes freaking great.
That's what I need to get. I come over to your house just to get the water.
I drink so much water now. And same thing, like jumping into the sauna and then bringing that big water jug, because I have one of those big ones that's like half a gallon. I'll drink most of that in that's one session. Crazy. So I'm not only sweating, but I'm replenishing that water. I do a full body massage chair pretty much every single day, which is great. Every morning when I shower, I have a full body red light that I hang on the shower. So I'm, you know, within 12 to 24 inches of that.
And red light was super important for wintertime, especially here in Utah. That was a game changer for me and my wife.
Mood support, skin, acne, a lot of other things. I did it for the mood support and just because I wanted to experiment with it. Cold plunge, I usually do that after I'm done working. So like here in an hour, I'm going to go home. I'm going to jump in the cold plunge. And it's going to wake me up and give me that second boost that I need so I don't fall asleep at 8 and then screw up my sleep. Sauna every day, 25 minutes.
Are you still taking naps?
Sometimes. I haven't been taking them as much though. I think it's probably because when I want to take a nap, I just go jump in the cold plunge and then it wakes me back up.
Makes sense.
Because naps are great, but sometimes I'll nap too long or too late in the day and then it screws up my sleep. Waking Up app is the best meditation app ever. It is like 10 bucks a month, but it is the best that I've seen. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. What else? What do you have to add?
Protein. I go plant-based right now. It's easier on my stomach to digest. I'm very sensitive to whey. Things that I'll add in, you have kombucha noted here, like just things to help probiotic support. For me, gut health is super important. But other than that,
it has those little yogurts. I try to get either yogurt in.
Those are key.
Those little, I don't know, the Mexican yogurts.
Yeah, or like non-fat Greek yogurt, just having some of those things.
This is like a little drink. Yep. It's just filled with prebiotics, but it's okay.
You know, I know exactly what you're talking about. The Mexican one?
Yeah.
Yep. Those are like 30 cents each.
Yep. And then you don't have to, I don't love the taste of kombucha, and it's such a big drink that this, it's two gulps and I'm done.
Done.
And I get all my probiotics.
I think the other thing, just electrolytes and BCAAs. Like for me, hydrated throughout the day, try and drink a gallon of water, and then really try and do glutamine BCAAs just for recovery. Mm. I'll replace that instead of like a Crystal Light or something like that.
Andrew Huberman says glutamine and creatine never need me to be cycled off, and it should be taken by everybody every day. It's not for muscle. Muscle building or muscle recovery, which it is for those things, but it's for cognitive function. And those things, I'm telling you, that's super cheap. Both of those are, you know, less than 5 cents per serving.
And easy to do with whatever drink you're taking.
You buy flavorless and you just throw it in whatever. Besides, I wouldn't do glutamine with coffee. At least mine makes it gritty. Mm. But I'm fine doing creatine with the coffee.
I can see that. Other than that, that's about it for today.
All right. Hopefully these were applicable. I hate generalized advice. So try to dive into more applicable costs, serving sizes, which I know we could have dived in a lot deeper, but not in a 30-minute podcast. So
this is a year of adapting to cycles. So take what you want from it, experiment, implement it. Biggest thing, sleep and get outside, move and see the sunlight. That's the biggest thing that anybody can do right off the bat.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys.
Stay tuned in for more episodes.